As we open the 2010 MI National Conference, we reflect on the priesthood of St. Maximin Kolbe. When I was asked to give this meditation, this reflection, of course I felt overwhelmed. I've known the figure and the person of St. Maximin Kolbe for 35 years, and he has had a tremendous effect on my life as a young woman, and in particular as a Father Kolbe missionary of the Immaculata. And I look at him and I say, what didn't you do, Father Kolbe? What didn't you experience? At a young age, Raymond, which was his name before receiving his religious name, he heard the call. The Catholic Catechism says that no one can claim this office, the office of the priesthood, for himself. He is called to it by God. The Church says that that person who hears the call must humbly present themselves to the authority of the Church, who has the responsibility and right to call someone to receive holy orders. Permit me the familiarity to talk to Father Kolbe in person. You were only 13 years old, and having heard the renowned conventual Franciscan, Father Hachela, preach a mission in your parish in Wulch, when you felt the call to the priesthood. And you left everything. You left your parents, you left your younger brother, to travel to the junior seminary, which was in Louvre. And this sublime call to the priesthood demanded much formation, studies and discipline, and cooperation with the grace as you matured past scruples, homesickness, illnesses. The road was rough, and you even considered abandoning the journey, abandoning the seminary for military service to fight for your country that was under the patroness of your queen, until your earthly mother intervened. And it was while you were in the junior seminary in Louvre that you prostrated yourself before the image of the Immaculate Conception, and you said to her that you wanted to fight for her, that you wanted to join in the battle fight against evil. And for the first time in a particular way, you made your act of total consecration to her. Due then to his intellectual capacities and the virtue, the order saw someone very special in this young man, and they asked him to continue his studies in Rome. And Rome, we know, is the seat of Catholicism. And for this young man, then, to have the privilege, and this time to go to the Serapicum, the International College of the Franciscans, he met students from all over the world. His little world of Poland then was enlarged immensely to be there close to the Holy Father in St. Peter's, to participate in the liturgies there. That he was being imbued while studying there with the universal mission and spirit of the Church. And 6 months before his ordination, he realized in the most profound way the place and the gift of Mary Immaculate. And because of this, he founded the MI, the Militia Immaculata. He founded it for his sanctification, the sanctification of the other members of the order. And he wrote, "The soul is to be reborn in Mary's womb, shaping itself according to Jesus Christ. Mary is to nourish the soul with the milk of her grace, shape it delicately and educate it, as she nourished and educated Jesus. On Mary's lap, the soul must learn to know and love Jesus. We must draw from her heart the love for Jesus. In fact, we must love him with her heart and become similar to him through love." And so we see the plan of this young seminarian, 6 months before his ordination, who recognizes that he's called to be another Christ, but he can't do it himself. It's beyond the human person. It will be an accomplishment of grace and cooperation with grace. And he realized the one who cooperated above and beyond anyone was Our Lady, And so he entrusts himself, his formation to become another Christ, to her. And upon his ordination day, he was ordained with a group, an international group, of men from other countries, again signifying very much the priesthood that doesn't just stay in one place for one little group of people, but the priest is a man for everyone. He's a father to all. Sharing in that one priesthood of Jesus Christ, Thomas Aquinas said, only Christ is the true priest, the others being only his ministers. Newly ordained Father Maximian wrote to his mother, he said, by the mercy of God through the Immaculate, the 28th of April, 1918, in the Church of San Andrea delle Valle, I was ordained a priest of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Catholic Catechism, we hear, the sacrament of holy orders communicates a sacred power, which is none other than that of Christ. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the candidate are signed with a special character, and so are configured to Christ, the priest, in such a way that they are able to act in the person of Christ, the head. And the exercise of this authority must therefore be measured against the model of Christ, who by love made himself the least and the servant of all. This sacred power that is given to the young man who is ordained is known to be felt in the body, in the physical body of the priest. I was present at the ordination of someone, and afterwards they actually almost went into a crisis because they felt the power of the priesthood in their whole physical being, that it was so overwhelming they almost fainted, and they had to just be quiet for a week after their ordination. It is a mark that is left indelibly on the soul for life. Again, it's God is the one who chooses the priest. And because of this, this realization should evoke a profound humility in the heart of the recipient. And Father Kolbe, on his holy card for his ordination, had inscribed on the back the words from Samuel, who am I, O Lord God, that thou hast brought me thus far? In witnesses to the church, to the virtues of Father Kolbe, testified that he was a man of profound humility. A newly ordained priest said that when he came to celebrate Mass of Neopogolano, the city established by Father Kolbe in Poland, afterwards understanding the sanctity and sensing holiness of the guardian, Father Kolbe, he knelt before him and asked for his blessing, expecting him to stand over him and bless him. Rather, Father Kolbe knelt before him, and kneeling before this newly ordained priest, he blessed him and hugged him. And in this week's National Catholic Register, there's an article about Father Lucian Krolikowski, who knew Father Kolbe in the seminary in Poland. And when he asked, what did Father Kolbe look like? He said he could have all the brothers, all 700, parade in front of you, and Father Kolbe in the midst of them, and you would not be able to distinguish him from the others. He would be the last to be recognized. He was so self-effacing, so ordinary and humble. Father Kolbe's Marian dimension of his priesthood filled him with a maternal heart, which heard the cry of the poor, the pagan, the confused, the soul steeped in sin, or caught up in false isms. And because of this, he laid down his life for the world. He laid down an unbelievable plan of evangelization because he heard this cry, this heart of a mother that knows what's happening with her children. We have missionaries from all over the world, and sometimes one of the missionaries' mother will call from a foreign country and saying, are you all right? And their daughter is going through a rough time. And she knows, even though she's across the world. And Father Kolbe had this heart, and he understood what was going on in the world. He heard the voices of the world, and he heard those that were leading men astray. So So he dedicated his entire priestly life to the work of universal evangelization. He first thought of his Poland. Began his plan there. But it was in a brief amount of time that he realized that the whole world was in need of the vehicle and the instrument of the MI, the gift of the Militia Immaculata, which is the gift of the Immaculate Conception, which is Our Lady. No one was to be left out of his plan. Then if you think of the priesthood, there's no soul they cannot serve. A priest is a priest everywhere in the world. I have a brother who's a priest, and everywhere he travels, if people see that he's a priest, they can ask him, and they do. They will stop him, ask him, sometimes for confession, sometimes simply for a blessing. He doesn't need to know their name, doesn't need to know their whole history, but he is a priest to them. And a priest is a priest for the whole world. Cardinal Humes, the prefect for the Congregation of the Clergy, wrote, "The missionary spirit of St. Maximilian can become a light and encouragement to many of our priests, inspiring them to be missionaries themselves." As I was preparing this reflection, once again, I was overwhelmed by the magnitude of this man, the far-reaching apostolate he instigated, in the work he accomplished in only 47 years of life. Father Kolbe promoted an assertive evangelization. Again, he was never satisfied with just his home front. He kept worrying about the whole world. He was able to enter into dialogue with modern culture, beginning with the use of various means of communication. We know that he began in particular with the printed word, newspapers, magazines. By the time he was arrested, he had 11 publications going out of Neapolitano. He was interested in the radio, and even thinking about film. And this is in the 1920s, 1930s, early 1940s. Then I read a quote by a Father Tartillo, who knew Father Kolbe in Grodno, where he was beginning his work with the MI and the printed press. He said, quote, "Truthfully, it is difficult to grasp how anyone, in the space of 24 hours, could plan and execute so many tasks without neglecting anything. Holy Mass, the breviary, meditation, retreats, composing articles for Research Neapolitane, the printing of the review under very difficult circumstances, the account, correspondence, etc., etc. Almost every day it was necessary to stop the sun in its course, crying out like Joshua, 'Sun, do not move.' From this is evident the presence of God's help through the intercession of the Immaculate Mother." End of quote. What Father Kolbe did is because of for whom he was doing it. He did nothing for himself. He did nothing so that St. Father Maximilian Kolbe's name could be seen big on print. He did nothing so that everybody would talk about Father Maximilian Kolbe. He did everything to give the greatest honor and glory to God through the Immaculata. I called my brother just before coming here, who's also a friend of Marytown, Father Matthew, and asked him, "Who is a priest?" And this is really right off the cuff. He said he's someone who's called from families, from the church, to serve the people of God. And this life of sacrifice leads the priest up to the final offering of his life, the final sacrifice of Christ. The priest is ordained to serve, and service is a huge part and parcel of who he is, to serve the people of God in the name of the church. And it's all united to the final sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And this is the Mass. In the Catholic Catechism, it says, it's in the Eucharistic cult that the priest exercises in a supreme degree their sacred office. They unite the votive offerings of the faithful to the sacrifice of the Mass, the sacrifice of Christ. Cardinal George of Chicago said, "The mission of the priest is built on daily prayer and centered on the Eucharist. The priesthood is not a profession. Father Kobe's life was the Eucharist, a life of thanksgiving and sacrifice before the gift of life and the gift of his holy orders. Daily he lifted up the world to Christ through the Immaculata in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Even when he was traveling, going to Japan, which would take months on ships, there were some religious traveling with them. He said, "Sisters, let's have Mass at 4 o'clock in the morning because it'll be very quiet." The sisters got him to 5 o'clock in the morning. But he wanted, first and foremost, the celebration of the Mass in the most dignified way before all the hustle and bustle would begin on the ships. When he was so sick and could hardly celebrate, two brothers held him up at his side. He didn't go to bed saying, "I can't do it." He said, "With your help, then I can." When he had to take medications because he was so sick, he had to drink water to take it. And at that time, you took nothing for 12 hours before, and he wouldn't take it. The Mass was everything. The Mass is where he held up the world who he was concerned for. And if you go to Neapolitano, the city established by Father Kolbe there in Poland, you'll see in the western nave a figure, a statue, a sculpture of St. Maximilian Kolbe under the mantle of Our Lady, over him, covering him, his whole person with her mantle, him underneath with the world in his hands, holding the world up to her. In the final hours of his life, Father Kolbe then descends into hell, the hell of Auschwitz. It's in Auschwitz then, in going into this hell, he goes to be close to those condemned to torture and despair in order to lift them up to the Immaculata, that she may bring them to Christ. He told the brothers that were arrested with him, "We must thank the Immaculata for sending us here. We've dedicated our life to the work of evangelization. Where else in the world is it more needed than our presence here in Auschwitz? If we had asked the Nazis to let us come here so that we could evangelize, that we could reach out to souls, we would never have been accepted. But she saw to it that we were arrested and sent here so that we could bring the presence of Christ." To me, this was always the ultimate of Father Kolbe, that he thanked Our Lady for sending him to Auschwitz so that he could be a priest to these people without. When he was asked, "Who are you?" in the final sacrifice of his life, his first answer was, "I am old and I am frail." He was 47. He was frail. He was very sickly. But as the conversation and dialogue went between him and the commandant himself, it's sort of like Christ before Pilate, said, "But who are you?" He said, "I am a Catholic priest." His identity was totally identified with his priesthood. It was not something separate. It wasn't just a part of him. It was who he was. And he descended into the starvation bunker because he offered his life. They didn't take it. They did not take his life. He gave his life. He gave it just as Christ did. He gave a choice for Christ. He freely chose to serve Christ, even in his death. An act of love, witnessing to the dignity of man and the sanctity of life. It was a free and total yes on his part to serve Christ even in the starvation bunker. And his priestly identity at this point no longer held any visible elements. He no longer was able to wear the Franciscan habit. He no longer had the rosary or his breviary. He no longer had the elements to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But when he descended the cold cement stairs, stark naked, because up above, prisoners had to strip. Because when they died, then the Nazis didn't have to take off their clothes to use for other prisoners. It was much more efficient. Father Kolbe went stark naked down these stairs into the cell. with the other 9 men. But he bears the indelible mark of his ordination, the indelible mark of the sacrament of holy orders, which no one and no evil could erase. He is the shepherd to guide his fellow prisoners to eternal life. And as he prays and he consoled the prisoners, he listened to their confessions. He absolved them of their sins, and he blesses with the prayers for the dying. And his own final Mass was celebrated as he became one then with the victim, with the Lamb of God, in his offering of his life for the salvation of souls. Many priests understand this was the final Mass of Father Bolli. He was one with the victim, the Lamb of God. And his offering affected not only the 9 other men who he went to minister to, but all those others that were in the block of death. And if you go there, you can see any noise then echoes throughout these cement cells that fill 3 floors of this building. The entire camp was affected. Everyone was waiting notice of what was happening to Father Bolli. And the men in the camp said for 3 months, he held up their hope that this man was victorious over the evil and the hatred of Auschwitz. And not only that, but the Nazis themselves were affected by his sacrifice. The guards in the prison, it was reported, refused at one point to go in the cell. They were afraid of this man dying stark naked in a cement cell. He was more powerful than their guns, their weapons, their hatred, the evil. They told their commandant, "We will not go in there anymore." They refused to. And when he did die, it was documented that one says, "Truly, we have never seen one die like this." St. Augustine said, "If you save a soul, you will be assured of salvation." What should be said of him who has saved countless souls, such as Father Bolli? Bolli sealed his priesthood with martyrdom, which is the strongest and most meaningful act of evangelization. And to priests today, he speaks loudly. A bishop who came to visit Auschwitz said, reflecting on Father Bolli in Auschwitz, said, "Father Bolli is like a lighthouse that just arises from the darkness of this place." Pope John Paul II, as Cardinal Wojtyla said, "At a time when so many priests were questioning their identity, Father Maximilian Bolli stood up in our midst to answer, not in the format of theological dialogue, but in that of his life and his death. For him, it was enough to be neither more nor less than his master in giving witness to the greatest love." In my 9 years in Poland, I served many, many pilgrimages that came from different countries in the world. Most of them were accompanied by a priest. And the priests were affected many times more than anybody, because they have dedicated their life, in a sense, to the battle between good and evil. In souls, when people come to them as penitents, to receive the grace, to be strong over the evils, temptation, and sin, when they offer the Mass, that sacrifice of Christ, who has victory over evil. And many, countless, have had the same answer. One answer: "I have to celebrate Mass here. Get me what I need." I have attended Mass at the end of the train tracks that lead into Birkenau concentration camp, where the highest number of Jews were gassed. Right there, just on the train tracks, the corporal, a small crowd of people around them celebrating Mass. At midnight, with the Polish population, we walked into the camps with lighted torches and said a Mass. At the rooms of the farmhouse where Edith Stein was gassed, a priest came, brought a board from the house, and celebrated Mass. Annually, in the courtyard of execution, the priest from the deanery of Oświęcim on All Souls Day celebrate Mass. Every year, August 14th, the bishop of our area, Żywiec, bishop, and the Franciscans from Krakow, near Poblano, and people from other countries come to celebrate the Mass. And I was present when a priest took the corporal, placed it on the cold cement ground of the cell of St. Maximilian, and celebrated Mass. The Mass is the highest form in worship. And all priests know this. And priests know that the answer to the evils of the world is the holy sacrifice of Christ on the cross, celebrated in the Mass. And two other priests have come and knelt in the cell of St. Maximilian Kolbe, have asked permission. The first was Pope John Paul II, during his first visit to Krakow as a Holy Father. He said, as a young man, as a college student, as a seminarian, as a priest, as a bishop, as a cardinal, I came here and knelt in this cell and prayed. I could not not come here as the Pope. And Pope Benedict, in May of 2006, his very first trip, he came to Poland. And in silence, he requested a private chance to go to the cell of St. Maximilian, unfilmed by anyone. And he went to the bunker and prayed and talked to St. Maximilian Kolbe. Who is this man that draws even holy fathers to his cell to pray, to talk to him, to understand the role of the priesthood? Who is this gift? He is someone that is really, really beyond us in many ways. Not this to discourage the priest of today, but to have an ideal, because we all are affected by what is happening today. We all hear what is happening to our priest. And so often in our newspapers, on the front pages, we hear another priesthood. And so we turn then to St. Maximilian. We turn to him and we say thank you. We say thank you for the witness of your priestly life, spent with a passionate love for God, the church, and souls. Thank you for the witness you bore to the dignity and vocation of priest. And we ask you to intercede for the church in this hour of purging of the priesthood. We ask you, St. Maximilian, sustain and inspire those humble priests working silently and faithfully in the vineyard of the Lord. We entrust all MI priests and seminarians, all priests throughout the world, to your loving care. Lift them all to the heart of the Immaculata. May they find in you a friend and the example and witness of a true priest, another Christ for the life of the world. Amen.